We thank you this morning that through it all, through every situation that we can face, you are the one who is God. And so we are still before you. We quiet our hearts. We quiet our ears. We set aside those distractions that would keep us from hearing from you. For in the stillness of these moments, we need to hear your voice deep within. And so, Lord, we tune our ear to you. And by the work of your Holy Spirit, would you take your word and minister it to our hearts and to our need this day? We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You know, most sermons are like a three-course dinner. There's the appetizer, makes you want more. It's the introduction that kind of captures your interest and introduces the subject, or it's supposed to. Then there comes the main course, and for some that's the meat and potatoes or veggies, or it's whatever's on the plate, all arranged in a particular way, not all mixed up. Right? You know what one of my little pet peeves is? When you go to a restaurant and they put your meat on top of the potatoes for presentation, or on top of the, what do they do that for? And then there's the dessert that brings it all to a conclusion, and that's usually the conclusion. But you know what? Every once in a while, there's a message that's a little more like stew. A whole bunch of ingredients all cooked together in a stew pot, and out comes the meal. I was stewing about the title for the message. You know, it can be a real challenge sometimes to come up with a message that kind of says something about the message, if you will, the title. And this one occurred to me. A lot to stew about. Because there is a lot to stew about. Well, that's the title, and I'll let you figure out as we proceed whether it refers to the style of message or to the content. Here we go. During our trip, I read this book. You might remember Julia and Kevin Garrett, who shared their story with us in March of last year. Two Tears on the Window is the book. This is their story, released in January of this year. It tells of their detention in China for being falsely accused as spies. Let me read for you what's on the back cover. Graduates of the University of Toronto, Kevin and Julia, moved to China, where they worked passionately for 30 years, assisting in education, humanitarian work, and Christian social enterprises. From 2008 to 2014, they run a popular coffee house on the China-North Korea border and facilitate aid into North Korea. And then they disappear. After dinner at a local restaurant, the couple are forcibly separated and taken to a secret Chinese compound. In shock and disbelief, they wake up as prisoners, pawns in an international spy espionage conflict involving Canada, the United States, and China. They endure months of grueling interrogation, isolation, and imprisonment. Surviving takes every breath, but through suffering comes life-changing insights and revelation. Excuse me. Courage and kindness, friendship and faith resonate through the ordeal with the heartbeat of a love journey. Facing a devastating outcome, a sudden twist propels the story toward a miraculous reunion if they can survive the wait. The penalty for spies caught in China is execution, and that possibility loomed large. Julia was held in detention for 6 months and then house arrest, and finally, under strict conditions, was permitted to return to Canada while Kevin stayed in prison. While in Canada, though, Julia was followed by Chinese Secret Service agents on Canadian soil. And she had to assume that they were listening in on every telephone conversation, even a brand new cell phone that she had just received when she went to use it. A virus detector said this phone has been compromised and it had been infiltrated. For From August 2014 to September 2016, just over 2 years, Kevin experienced 404 hours of interrogation, guarded with lights on 24/7, 546 meals in isolation, 775 days as a prisoner, and not knowing really why. In reality, their detention was China's retaliation against Canada for catching one of their spies. And working with the United States, Canada managed to turn that spy into an asset and were able to call China out on cyber espionage and the stealing of technological and intellectual property. The Chinese government knew full well the Garretts were innocent, but that didn't matter. They were convenient pawns. This book, is the story of their struggle and their suffering as they walked through a very deep, very dark valley, a terrifying ordeal full of danger for them. I recommend you read this book. It can be purchased online. There's the website you can purchase it. This is a special copy obtained for us by Earl Ambrose, a family friend of theirs. It's an autographed copy for the library. So before it gets out of my hand, it hasn't been registered for the library yet, so our librarian gets to read it and then put it in. But in the meantime, I recommend you have your own copy. As you read the book, it will seem at points as though you're a silent witness on the wall, there with them, present. And at times, you will put the book down and weep. Their story will touch you deep within. And as I read the book, it reminded me time and time again of Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And in ways you cannot imagine, God proved himself to be their helper time and time and time again. It's a book of hope in the midst of despair. An unidentified reader in China writes about this book. Our 12-year-old is racing through your book. She's glued to it every free moment she has. Her older brother finished the book before us, and now we can't put it down. We'll be sharing it with others. Okay? I will not tell you the significance of the title, Two Tears on the Window. It isn't what you may be thinking. That's all I'll say. Except to say, you'll need to read the book to find out. The two men who are currently in detention in China, same reason, are as retaliation against Canada, they're not having a good time at all. They're suffering. You won't understand how much until you read that book. Pray for them as the Lord should bring them to your mind. But this book is the story of how Kevin and Julia endured and maintained their integrity as believers and faithful followers of Christ in the midst of great tribulation. Integrity. You heard that word, right? Integrity. Now there's a word for our day. Didn't get much reaction to that. Now there's a word for our day. You should be standing up going, yeah, Ottawa! Canadians have a lot to stew about right now. You know what? One of the dangers of being on vacation is you have a little more time on your hands. And I spend a lot of time trolling the news, what's happening in Ottawa. Unfortunately, we have come to a point where integrity is the exception, not the rule. And the rule of law only matters when. I would hope that Canadians as a whole are applauding the level of integrity that we have seen on Parliament Hill in these past few weeks from at least two individuals. Jody Wilson Raybould is to be congratulated and honored for her stand, and prayed for, by the way. Costly? Oh, yes. She lives under the scorn of her boss, the Prime Minister, and many around her. Her work environment has become very toxic. It doesn't matter where you are politically. It does not matter where you are politically, in what party you may support or not support. This is about truth and integrity. It has cost her deeply, emotionally, and physically as she gives testimony, etc. It is incredibly stressful, folks, for a person of integrity to stand against those who can twist the words and the meaning of what is being said and are not bound by a sense of integrity and can say anything, can say that anything is true even when they know it's not. But the one who tells the truth, folks, never has to change their story. Amen? The one who tells the truth never has to change their story. I want to quote former Justice Minister Jody Wilson Raybould, just her last concluding remarks of her testimony. I was taught to always be careful what you say, because you cannot take it back. I was taught to always hold true to your core values and principles and to act with integrity. I am a truth teller. This is who I am, and this is who I will always be. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then Jane Philpott, I just wanted to quote this. It just jumped right out at me as I heard her resignation. There can be a cost to acting on one's principles, but there is a bigger cost to abandonment. Right? See, that's integrity. That's what integrity is about. Integrity is a long-term investment. Integrity has its own reward. See, truth is truth. There is no such thing as his truth versus her truth, as though the both were equal opposites. That's the kind of confusion that exists in our world today, where we are reaping the results of at least one generation, maybe two now, being taught that whatever is right for them is what's right. Nobody knows what's right anymore. Or if they do, it doesn't matter. See, everybody has their own right. Everybody has their own truth. And I promise you, that's a lie right from the pit of hell. And I just want to add this little note. You don't have to dig very far to realize that SCN-Lavalin is a company with a long documented history of corruption and without regard to human life or human condition. And they have funneled millions and millions of dollars into the personal pockets of dictators and despots for their own advantage. And some of that money has likely come from your pocket and my pocket as taxpayers. And I quibble with that. I don't like that. See, the Canadian public, I'm not hearing it strong enough. The Canadian public should be appalled at the very notion of such a company being protected from prosecution. I don't think we as a country realize just how sad a day this is for our country. Amen? It's a very sad day. Calvin Coolidge, my favorite, this is probably my all-time favorite quote. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Calvin Coolidge, former United States president. That quote should be painted on the walls of Parliament. So should these. Just watch them as I read them along for you. Proverbs 10, verse 9. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Proverbs 13, verse 6, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Proverbs 9, 1, better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Psalm 84, verse 11, I invite you to read this one with me. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk with integrity. We need to pray for our government. I'm sure you have been. I hope you have been. We need to pray. Listen to how I say this. Now see if you react. Pray that the real truth is told. Okay. Oh, I heard the amen. But did you get the English there? The real truth? You know, there is only one truth. Truth doesn't need a qualifier. You can't really put a qualifier with truth. It's something like something being more unique than something else. I didn't see very many. Ooh, you know? I don't remember your English lessons. Something is either unique, meaning it stands alone, it has no equal, or it's not. It can't be more or less unique, right? So you can't put another word with unique. Unless you want my wife to come after you. Unique is a standalone word. So is truth. Pray that the government would know and act on truth and on what is right. Now, another ingredient in the stew pot. I was also sad and glad at the same time in these past few weeks to learn that the founder of Harvest Bible Chapel Movement, James McDonald, has been fired after having been suspended from ministry earlier this year. I'm saddened because of the sin that caused the fall of a Christian leader. That is never good. And of the consequences of that to those who might turn away from the faith, to the enemies of the gospel who gives them occasion to mock as well. That's sad. But I was also glad because Harvest leadership finally did the right thing, what they should have done many years ago. They're years too late. It tells you something of the man who, having admitted that what he had done, one could only really call sin, still thinks that he's qualified to preach when he's been suspended. And what he really needs is to be broken before God, in all humility, and fall on his face and repent. See, this wasn't a moment of weakness where temptation was succumbed to in a lapse of moral fortitude. It was an inculcated behavior over many years. And now it calls into question, this is why it's important for you to hear this, it calls into question every book written, every sermon preached, every article written. If one is justifying wrong behavior in their own life, it will taint their perspective and interpretation of God's word and his truth. And that fact calls into question, again, every book that he has written, every sermon he has preached, every lesson he has taught. Okay? I want to share with you from deep within that for many, many years, I've not been able to listen to James McDonald on the radio, and I know some of you the same, or countenance his books, because there was something not right coming through. My heart would just not tolerate it. Attorneys in a court of law will attempt to catch a witness in a lie. It only takes one lie to call into question their entire testimony, because now they have proven themselves to be a liar. Okay? It's something like the rule of law argument that has been so recently called into question by China, and rightly so, in its relationship with Canada. You won't understand that if you haven't been following the news. Don't worry about it if you don't. See, no politician or government official can be above the law. Not one. Not one. No pastor or Christian leader can be above God's law either. Nor can any Christian. Amen? To sin and to repent of that sin and to allow God's grace to forgive and to cleanse and to restore and transform is one thing. That's the wonder and the joy of the gospel. We're sinners saved by grace to be saints, folks. To practice sin and to think it's okay, God will let me get away with it, that's not okay. Believe me, God is not mocked. And you can be sure of one thing. I was taught this from a little guy. Both my mother and my grandmother made sure I knew it well. You can be sure of one thing. Your sin will find you out. That caused a little bit of fear sometimes. The psalmist said, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Psalm 26, verse 11. David determined, as we need to too, that his desire was always to do the right thing, to walk before the Lord in integrity. David was not perfect. There were times that he failed, but he dealt with those times. Read Psalm chapter 32, just jot that down, in chapter 51 in the Psalms, and you'll become aware of that in his life. As Christians, we must be known by others as people of high integrity. And we must also take it one step further, demand integrity of others. So I don't know if you're planning on talking to your member of parliament, but that might just encourage you a little bit. We must demand integrity of others. We must demand integrity in those we are responsible for. And we must demand integrity to those whom we are responsible as well. People need the Lord. And how can they come to the Lord unless the Lord's people are people of integrity? How many people are being kept out of the kingdom of God because of a Christian somewhere who lacks integrity? Because of the reputation of a Christian who doesn't pay his bills, who cheats on taxes, who pads his expense account, who told the buyer that his old clunker was A1 okay, knowing that the motor was about ready to go. Right? Oh, you're too serious. Let me throw this in. Something like the man who sold his neighbor a horse. Did you hear about this? Sold, kind of like an old horse trader, if you will. A few days later, this neighbor called him up. And his neighbor was upset with him. Says, "You didn't tell me the horse was half blind." Said, "Yes, I did. I said she was a good worker, but she just didn't look too good." Folks, integrity, folks, is essential to every area of our lives. And it affects every area. A lack of integrity in one area will affect the whole of our life. See, if you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. If integrity is an essential element to the Christian life, here's a sobering question. Can you truly be a Christian and not have integrity? That's a toughie. Sorry to throw that on you. First Sunday back. But anyway, that's what's been in my stew pot. What does it mean for you? Is there something in your life that needs to change? Are you a person of integrity? Integrity toward others? Always being a truth teller? Always doing the right thing? Integrity in our faith walk with God? I was in a restaurant this week, and as I sat there at the table,
My toe hit something. I knew it wasn't the table leg. And I reached down, and here's this nice, great, big, fat wallet. So I opened up the wallet, and there was the license of a nice-looking young fellow. And the waitress came along, and I showed her the license. I said, do you recognize this face? She said, yes, I do. He was in here this morning. He lost his wallet. I said, well, here it is. She says, well, we can just put it up by the cash register. I said, did he know that he lost his wallet while he was here? She said, yes, his friend had to pay for his breakfast. I said, well, lucky for him. But I'll tell you what, I'll keep the wallet, and I will find him. And I tracked him down. Fortunately, his father still had a landline. And that's the only way that was the best way to find him. And he came, and he was so grateful. And time again, he thanked me. And he tried to pull some money out of his wallet to give me. I said, no, you cannot reward me for integrity. Because integrity is its own reward. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So how about our integrity in our faith walk with God? If it's lacking, you don't build a character of integrity overnight. But here's the deal. If you have work to do, just get at it. Just get it done. Right? Pray about it. And with God's help, we can all be the kind of people he calls us to be. People of integrity. He calls us to be. He needs us to be. And he expects us to be. I want you to join with me in reading in unison Psalm 26. It's a compilation of the New International Version and the New King James Version, as we read it together, let God speak to you through these verses. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My feet stand on level ground. And in the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.